Hey, everybody, this is Tom Salemi at Device Talks. Welcome to the Device Talks weekly podcast. I am exhausted. We had a fantastic week at Device Talks Boston. Thank you to everyone who participated. Thank you to our speakers, our sponsors, and of course, our attendees. So much to talk about that I'm not going to really be able to say anything because there's just, it was an epic couple of days. And my overall takeaway was just the positive feelings that I got from folks in the in attendance, in the rooms, in the hallways. Everyone is excited about the future, excited about medtech. It was a nice opportunity to bathe into positivity. And we're not getting a lot of those these days. So I was really grateful for all the comments, all the thank yous, all the hellos, all the great comments on stage. And again, the support of our sponsors, the expo floor was humming. Our podcast booth was humming. Our engineering theater, which was our Device Talks only theater, was packed. And I'm tired and I don't know what else to say other than thank you. And I'm so grateful to be part of this Device Talks community. We did our podcast wrap up, which is what you're listening to right now. Joe Mullings of the Mullings Group was our guest. I think he's a founding member of this podcast wrap up. So always great to get Joe's takes. He's joined or we're joining Joe on the podcast is of course myself, Chris Newmarker of Mass Device, and our fantastic managing editor Kayleen Brown. We unpacked a few highlights of the day, but the conversation took an interesting turn into career development, about being seen, about the sexiness of medtech, and what we need to do to make it even sexier, or at least to see the sexiness be seen by others, so we can compete in drawing the best and brightest. There was one moment, and it will be referenced in the conversation, one moment at Device Talks Boston, where a young biomedical student asked a question of Yvonne Tornos about building a career in medtech, and he gave a great reply, and she asked a great question, and just got us all thinking about what we can do to help the next generation. And I know Yvonne Tornos will be helping her directly as well to find her path. So just a great example of again, the positive feelings about Device Talks Boston. I had sent out an email the Sunday before, telling people that if they wanted a guaranteed sure thing of feeling better about what they do, they should attend Device Talks Boston. And I stand by that here. I stood that by that yesterday in the podcast interview, as you'll hear. And I'm just so grateful. So I won't take any more time. I'm now working on Device Talks Minnesota. That's happening on June 11th. Really excited about that. And of course, we'll be back in Santa Clara with our Device Talks West Innovation and Industry Forums. We're building out that program, adding a lot more meat to those bones, and really talking to some of the leaders in the medtech infrastructure on the West Coast. If you want to be involved in either of those meetings, reach out to me on LinkedIn, and we'd love to have your help. And that's it, folks. Again, thank you to everyone who was at Device Talks Boston. I couldn't have asked for a better experience, and I'm very, very grateful for all the kind words and for everyone who spent their precious time with us at the BCEC over the past 2 days. So thanks, everyone. Enjoy this podcast, this episode of Device Talks Weekly Podcast. All right, you ready for this?
Ready.
All right, Chris Newmarker, how are you, sir?
Doing well, Tom. You know, it's the checkered flag right here at the end, man.
That's right. Is that a sports metaphor?
Something. I mean, that's something. Something my friend Darren just told me. You know, I'm just like going with the flow. You know, it's been a packed 2 days. I mean, this is the buzz here at Device Talks Boston. It's been a lot. And now you're listening to like some tired people here.
Yeah. In fact, I never checked with our audio guy, Richard. Richard, we're recording, right?
Fantastic. All right.
This
is a professional operation. We're here with managing editor Kayleen Brown. Kayleen, you didn't do much these 2 days. I just kind of saw you, you know.
I just cruised in, kicked my feet up, let you do all the work. Took all the credit, of course.
Yes. No, you did. No, she was, when we were signing, trying to figure out who would lead what conversation, she kept saying, I want that one, and I want that one. And I kept saying, okay. And I think you had 4 in a row today. Is that right?
Well, total, I had 16. So, today was the heavier stacked day, but it was back to back to back, and that's okay. I don't need to eat. I don't need to do anything except for be all med tech all day.
That's exactly what we want to hear. Excellent. We'll pile more on Device Talks Minnesota and Device Talks West.
Sold.
And happy to be joined by our final podcast staple, Joe Mullings of the Mullings Group. Joe, welcome.
Thank you. I appreciate it. It was you beat last year and the year before and the year before. So well done.
That's what we all try to do, right?
That's it. Raise the bar.
I think you're a founding member of this podcast. So
I'll take it. I'll be long.
Thanks for being part of it. Thank you, all ridiculous people, for being in the audience and sitting through this agony for probably 25 minutes or so. We will put it out tomorrow.
I'm just amazed we've had this packed auditorium.
That's why we got the bigger room. We had to get the full 3,000.
There we go.
Yeah.
You can hear the echo. It's fantastic.
Don't tell them about the echo.
Echo.
The packed rooms aren't echoed. Anyway.
It's not echo. You can don't hear an echo at all.
Sean has a microphone. Do you have a microphone, Sean? Oh, okay. Sean will come and grab a microphone. This is a podcast of the people. If you folks want to join in and offer your thoughts, we'd love to hear them, because you probably saw more of the meeting than we did. Like, when you're on stage trying to lead these things, you afterwards, I'm kind of like, what did we talk about? I can't wait to listen to this, because I think we covered some really cool stuff. We'll start with our visitor to the clubhouse, Joe Mullings. You are everywhere. I've seen you all over the conference. What's your first key takeaway from the last couple of days?
I think what's great about this conference is the focus is on the dialogue that is occurring within the med tech industry. And I've watched over the last few years, and it was sort of continues to be validated here, is we've stopped talking about an episodic point of care in med tech. And now we're starting to talk about the influence of health tech and healthcare across it, pre, peri, and post, and all the components that go into it. This is where you roll in your devices, your AI, your sites of care, your content really reflected where MedTech Health Tech is going. And I love to see that, because it becomes a business solution and not a device solution anymore. So that's what really stuck out to me in and out of all the sessions I came.
No, that's great. And you're right. Every year seems to have its different flavor. And we're talking about surgical robotics, as we've done on all three, but it's amazing to me, just over the 4 that we've done, how different the conversations we're having are today than they were just a few years ago. I mean, they're concrete, they're medical devices, they're making a difference, they're incorporating AI, which they might have been done, which we were doing before, but we're seeing how now. And more important, we're seeing what the benefits could be. It's not just a technology finding a problem, it's a technology that promises, I think, to solve a lot of problems, which is really exciting.
The one challenge I'll have about AI, though, is I think it's way too early for anybody to claim they understand how it's going to impact healthcare yet. And then where's the monetization of that? I think you got to be careful with the AI, because it goes along the lines of the early digital tools that 2018, 19, and 20 VC ran to invest in that, and somebody put up their hand and said, I'm not sure how I'm going to get paid for this. And so AI sits in there. We're making conclusions that we understand it, but it's way too early. And so we've got to be really careful with, I don't think that executives really know the use of AI for them to make multi-$100 million decisions on that. And I hope that we spend more time in that as an industry, that if you really queried the top 20 CEOs in med tech companies about, show me exactly where AI fits into the business proposition here, they could probably do that with finance and supply chain, and because they came out of that. Mm-hmm. So none of that is native to them. So I'm really interested to see more content around the business principles and the use of AI in business models, rather than just saying it's on the DV5 and this is what we can do with it. Mm-hmm.
Kaylin, you led an AI panel with Boston Scientific. The room was packed, so you know clearly there's the buzz around AI, which doesn't mean it's going to amount to anything. But anything you can share from that? I was not able to attend that session.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's more sort of what we've been seeing already. There's just, it's sort of like the Mr. Rogers. Like, if it's mentionable, it's manageable. So now artificial intelligence is being mentioned more and more and more, so it's starting to be managed more and more and more. And having the PACT room really validated that we're trying to maybe grasp what we can do with artificial intelligence. And I think that's what we have to do, because you couldn't be more right, Joe. You know, how are you going to get paid? Are we actually going to see anything come out of it? Is it, at this point, more hopeful expectations and assumptions? And you know, this time last year, I was really seeing like, oh yeah, it's going to make a huge change. And I'm kind of backing away from that a little bit. And it's actually the opposite of what I got out of this session. The session was really about collaboration and how can we work directly with all of the different stakeholders within MedTech to work together to improve workflow or improve efficiencies. And that's all well and good and incredibly important. But how does it directly impact MedTech today? Is it a buzzword still?
Oh, it's a buzzword.
I'm starting to really think it is.
I mean, a mass device, I don't think, like, it's hard to find a product announcement that doesn't include something, and it comes with artificial intelligence, you know?
Well, VCs want to see where's the AI on it, right? But
right.
When I think about AI today, I go back to the blockchain buzz in 2020, 2021, where blockchain was going to take over med tech and solve all the problems, and where is it today?
That's
it's everywhere, Joe. No, I'm just
No, that's exactly what it's feeling. It's starting to seem almost inflated, like it's solving all of the problems. And I think that there are very tangible problems that we can make assumptions about, because we can, you know, we can workflow efficiencies. Yes, we can improve workflow. But what does that translate to? Where I'm not seeing the translation yet. So I'm really hopeful that we can start maybe refining the expectations and putting, you know, KPIs around it, because we're at the point where let's stop talking about it, let's do something with it, let's get an action plan together.
I mean, we've seen the, you know, this evolution of MedTech over the past decade, where MedTech was behind a lot of other industries, but this digitization that we've seen, and you know, artificial intelligence is like the new thing that comes with digitization. So, I mean, it would make sense then to like the system operates, you know. And so, I mean, you were mentioning, Joe, like the DV5. I definitely think we'll see a lot of things like, can this give us an edge? Can this allow people to operate our robot or our, you know, catheter system or whatever, like in an easier way, you know?
Yeah, but the issue is that the healthcare system's incentives are not built around rewarding AI. So you've got misaligned
right.
interests across the entire healthcare system, whether it's payers, providers, even the patients. And so DV5 would be an immediate use on that, but there's an organization that's 190 billion market cap, depending on where we are with tariffs today, maybe 170. But they've got a platform to deploy AI that they don't have to worry about monetizing that. Where my concern on AI is, how are you going to monetize that? I'm going back to the telehealth plays.
That's where my head.
Oh, totally.
Yeah,
that's exactly where my head went.
We'll have XCath and Andromeda Surgical at Device Docs Minnesota on June 11th, talking about the possible for autonomous surgery. Obviously, not surgical robots to perform themselves, but surgical robotic systems with guardrails, with something that will make procedures more safer. Will elevate the skill sets of surgeons. I mean, I think we see a path forward for those type of
monetization. How are you going to get paid on it?
Better
not. How are you going to increase efficiencies is important workflow. But when you start to apply it to a device, how do you monetize the use of AI like on the spot? Because our margins aren't that large.
But if AI lets you do a procedure in 15 minutes and it would normally take an hour and 15 without it, that's it.
If you can evidence base that out, 100%.
Yeah.
But then you have to have a high use, high adoption. So you first have to get the system into the ecosystem and have enough units out there that gather enough information to make the argument. But you can't make the naked argument until you get the systems in there.
Yep.
adoption. You're absolutely right.
Yeah.
For that too.
That's the challenge.
Well, I think that will happen if they're able to do the. I think if they do what they say they can, it's a chicken and egg kind of thing. I think if they may not have enough evidence that they need to demonstrate it completely, they'll get it done. But they'll hopefully will have enough anecdotal evidence to get the numbers they want. But we're sort of circling a bit. Let's move forward to another high point of the event of the 2 days that we've had here, as I relearn how to talk. Kaylin Brown, I could name a highlight that I've had that you were involved in, but what was one of your highlights of the day? I'm guessing they might be one of the same.
Many highlights, but yes, I would be remiss not to mention the Women in MedTech Breakfast, yes. Which I think is what you're winking and alluding to.
I did not wink.
Nudge, nudge, but... wink, wink. Absolutely phenomenal. Last year, we started just with a concept, an idea. Let's make a safe place and bring in women in MedTech leadership and our allies in a room, and sold out that space in 4 days. And then this year, maybe we'll get to 150 and 200 and a couple of extra tables added later. Really show that there's still this appetite, this need, this presence. This year, I think in particular, which was really exciting, is having a theme around it. So we were able to really focus in on the conversation. And I got to sit down with Tracy Warren of American Heart Association Ventures to talk about how the power of language can bring in more medtech funding, which is incredibly important. And we talked through a couple of deal examples of how, you know, subtle shifts in language could bring in more attention, awareness, more money where it needs to go. And then we added another layer where I really wanted to walk away from the breakfast room, not just inspiration and some action, but real deep connections and this diversity of perspective. So you hear me talk about diversity all the time because it's so, so, so important. So this year I invited discussion leaders, and one of our favorites, Holly Scott, so generously joined us as a discussion leader. And I knew, which would be phenomenal, and so many of our other discussion leaders, where we wanted to continue the conversation of the power of language, but through the perspectives of different backgrounds and, language, nonverbal, verbal, communications, a clinical indication, tenured, less tenured, really get this diversity of perspective and continue to talk about language. Definitely felt, because I'm walking around the room, the engagement factor was just unreal. And I was once again struck by there are so many important conversations that need to happen, and how incredibly lucky we are that we get to have a platform, we get to provide a platform so that these conversations are now being heard to the wider audience, and they are absolutely making an impact. And kind of one last thought around that is, Tom, you and I were debriefing just very slightly, is bringing vulnerability and personal storytelling into medtech, that's been a really big shift. 2 decades later, I'm sharing stories that 98% of my community have never heard. Shared my background of having a speech impediment, and here I am, on a stage talking, and my job is to communicate, and to not have been able to communicate for the first 15 years of my life, it's a pretty surprising, how did I close that gap? And I made a very intentional decision to share my story, because I can't ask the medtech community to give me something I'm not willing to give. And as soon as I did that, it was just like this floodgate of these stories of women and our allies coming up to us and saying, this is my experience, this is how I see myself, this is how I'm heard, and now I feel more connected to the ecosystem, to you, to the people around me. And if we were connected, what can't we do?
That's excellent. Now, and I think that really highlights what a personal business medtech is. And we've all talked about talk to people about their paths to medtech very often, and I'll get into a highlight in a moment. But Ivan Tornos, the CEO of Zimmer Biomed, shared his very personal introduction into healthcare and why he decided to make this his career. But we just got out of a keynote on our robotics side of the house, Psionics, a very cool company that's created a prosthetic robotic arm that interfaces with the brain and you can control it. And you looked at it as a robotics company, and you could see the people, feel the people in the room, most of whom I think attended the robotics event, sort of see like what happens when you use technology to improve people's lives. And I think, I don't know, I just, it felt so medtech-y to me. Like it really felt like they were all like, this is amazing. Like I'm using robotics to help people, and robotics is great. But that's our whole industry, is using technology to help people. And it was kind of nice to see that feeling wash over another industry like that, because there's nothing more powerful than that. And I think that comes through vulnerability, because I think we have to all be empathetic and understand other people's pains to help them find a solution in another way. And you can see it in all the pitches of the medtech innovator startups, every single one of them is wildly passionate about what they do. Joe, I mean, you work with many startups, and I think if you wrote down their lives and their habits, you'd probably identify them as clinically insane because of the commitment they have to these missions and the dedication they have. So I think what you're explaining is just sort of an extension of that. So I think it's powerful.
MedTech needs to be emotional, because we are in service of others. That is why we've chosen MedTech. That is the common theme, and it's okay to say that emotions is the reason we're here. We're trying to connect. We're trying to save lives. We're trying to take technology and make it meaningful.
Yeah, I would
think, I'd say, you know, emotional, and then I think it's also fueling courage. I mean,
I love that.
Because I mean, I think that's one of the themes I really heard from people. Like when people were like talking about the show, saying, you know, like that, like this is just a great community, and you know, and that, you know, there's just so much trust and teamwork. And then, you know, I could just see that. I mean, let's be honest, the elephant in the room. I mean, there's all this disruptive, scary stuff going on in the world. You don't want to watch, you know, you don't want to, you know, read the New York Times too long, or, you know, like general media too much, but, you know, and what I saw around here was just like this courage, like, hey, you know, we're doing important work that's, you know, saving people's lives, and, you know, we're going to keep at this. I mean, you were talking about even Tornos' keynote with you. I mean, that just was so refreshing, just to be like, you know, this is a CEO who's like bold, who's like saying, you know, we're gonna be the best medtech company ever. Like, to heck with everything going on. We're just gonna do this, and you know, we're gonna do stuff in cardio. And I just love it. It just makes me feel great to be here.
I'm gonna go back. You mentioned words are important, and so sometimes when we hear the word emotions, there's a negative and positive to that, right? But I think if I pick one word that you can describe that feels really complete in medtech, it's intimacy. Because the intimacy to the patient, the intimacy to the team, the intimacy to the mission, so that the intimacy that you get in this industry doesn't occur in banking, no. Doesn't occur in I think any other profession. So that's one of the things that you see out in the hallway here, the intimacy in the relationships, and everybody helping each other and networking with each other. And even somebody's got some batshit crazy idea that they're pursuing, and ends up being meaningful 20 years later in the form of a DV5. Right, so it's that intimacy that I think really is a word I would tag on to the health tech, med tech community.
I mean, yeah, I covered banking as a business reporter 15 years ago. I mean, yeah, it's nice. You gave a business a loan, you know, that's great, but it's not the level that we see here. It's pretty awesome.
I hated covering that stuff so much. So
I hope I didn't trigger you, Tom.
Oh my gosh, but to your, that's a great point, Joe, and it just reminded me of, I met someone out in the hall who, this was his first attendance and first time attending, and his point was, you know, I talked to people and there are no, everyone's very open. Like there was no agenda. It wasn't just about meeting and closing deals. It was just about going around and talking about healthcare, and I think that was the most wonderful thing someone said to me, because I think that's what we really try to create here, is just come and hang out with people who like doing stuff that you like to do and learn from them and teach them what you know, and then let's go on with our day and feel better. I mean, that was the email I wrote for the last marketing. I'm like, I guarantee if you come, you're going to leave feeling pretty good about yourself. Like, that was my lock of the day, and I challenge anyone listening to this podcast, if you came to Device Talks Boston and didn't have a good time, please let me know. If you don't feel better today than you did 3 days ago, I'd love to find out why. Because we'll fix it, and next time you will feel great. So if you're listening, I'm on LinkedIn. So Chris, what was your highlight of the day, of the event?
I just did my highlight. No, I'm just, I actually hear something else. I'd say, I love, too, our community, like just how how quirky, you know, it could be too. I mean, just like only a play event like this would, like a number of times, like people like seriously got perked up and excited over the word nitinol, you know, which is just like some advanced metal alloy. But I mean, it's doing all this amazing stuff. And actually, yeah, Joe, and you were interviewing Maggie Nixon, like the CEO of Capstan Medical. I mean, he's got this really interesting technology. I mean, oh my gosh, it's like a valve that's robotically delivered. And she was, you know, like telling everybody that like this wouldn't have been possible, you know, before we had like really purified nitinol that allowed, you know, this type of a valve. And it's only, you know, come about in recent years. So, I mean, and people in the room all perked up when, you know, they heard that. Like, so, I mean, it's great.
The nerding out factor is awesome.
It's awesome.
It's the best.
Somewhere Jim Hammerhand's ears just perked up and it's like yes, Ron
Burgundy. MDO managing director Jim Hammerhand's ears are burning. Like he's probably like all the way in Seattle going like nitinol. Like, yes, it's,
loves his nitinol. Yes. And we were actually coming back from a networking event in a law firm and we were talking with one of the lawyers there and Chris mentioned nitinol and he was like, shared that he's a metallurgist and he loves nitinol and what's brought him into the industry. So,
I mean, it's cool.
Yeah, it's cool stuff. It's bendy, it's twisty. Anyone can check out my
shape memory,
all man. Nitinol Lionel Richie parody. It's on one of my LinkedIn posts. Holly Scott's going to put together my greatest hits, she says. And I got a Da Vinci. I'm working on that one. So this is getting stupid. So my highlight, of course, and we'll open it up to the audience. Of course, I mentioned earlier Yvonne Tornos. I mean, Joe, you know him well. I mean, he's the guy who sat here is the guy you'll talk to out there is the guy you'll talk to anywhere. If you bump into him, I think, in the supermarket, it's the same guy. I mean, authenticity through and through, mission through and through. You're not going to find Tim Cook say, my goal is to put Apple out of business 10 years from now. Like he wants to help. He wants to help people. He shared his story of his father, Pat, who died at an early age, and then an uncle who is his surrogate father dying at an early age. And he himself, Yvonne, is older than they were when they passed away. So you carry that kind of stuff wherever you go. And he's using that to benefit people. And it's really grateful that he came here and shared that story and you know, took questions from the audience. And I just wish that more CEOs would act that way. You are the caretakers of our industry. You're in charge of our biggest companies. We are shareholders of yours in a way, in that our industry, we rise and fall with this industry. Tell your stories, get out there, be honest and show yourself and let people see who you are. It's good for your employees, it's good for the patients, it's good for us. Just let go a little bit. Like, Joe, I'm sure you don't hold back, and I appreciate that. And that's why I love talking to you and Holly. You folks see what you see, and you say what you say, and you're honest brokers of information regarding medtech. And I'm not saying that CEOs aren't dishonest. I'm spinning down a weird way. I just want them to tell their story a bit more like Yvonne Tornos. That's all. And they don't have to do it as well, but I think they need to do it a little bit more.
Well, I think it'll attract the youth that we don't get into the industry, right? Because they may, medtech is sexy as hell.
Yes.
It's right? Sexy yeah. as hell, okay?
Yes.
And we said that a couple of years ago, and I'm like, I'm going to make medtech sexy, baby, you know, because of our platform. And there are some people who like Yvonne, who can propagate that.
Yep.
And have that young lady from Cornell be wowed by it. And, you know, you watch Devon give somebody a job on LinkedIn who was going through a very difficult time. She was a salesperson.
Yep.
And now she's selling, you know, implants somewhere in the Mid-Atlantic area. I agree with you because that will attract the younger talent that ends up going to Facebook to keep somebody on a kitty video for an extra 37 seconds rather than save grandma. Right, so I agree 100%. Publicly traded company, difficult, right? You've got handlers who worry about it, like Yvonne says. But you can be a lot more approachable, and you have a responsibility that comes with that privilege of being a CEO in any med tech company.
But I'm sorry, getting them up, but I think Yvonne would tell you that, you know, his honesty and his, like, the way he presents himself gives optimism to shareholders and actually helps his share price. Like, they see him happy and optimistic and moving forward. I think if he pulled back, they'd be like, uh-oh, like, why is he going this way? And I'm sure a lot of people would encourage that. So I think there can be an increase in share price if you just be authentic. I apologize, Kelly.
No, No, please, no. I'm jumping on this very important bandwagon. I had asked Day to keynote Dr. Cherise Sparks, former Chief Medical Officer for Inspire Medical Systems. How in medtech can we, stabilize ourselves or get prepared for turbulent times from a leadership perspective? What is the responsibility of our leaders? And she said, transparency and authenticity. She said that those are the two safeguards to making medtech steady and growing. So it's exactly what you're saying here. And interesting, Joe, full circle to the newly brought into the industry Cornell grad, Yvonne did give his email address. So full circle, he followed through on what he said he was going to do. We had debriefed later, and he made a contact, and he made a you could just see that there was a change in this young lady. She was brave enough to raise her hand. And there's kind of two parts to that. One, being brave enough to raise your hand and ask a question in a room full of people who don't look like you. That's hard. The second thing, there's two sides to the microphone. I handed her that microphone because I wanted to hear what somebody coming into the industry wanted to say and wanted to ask. And I was hugely rewarded by seeing that exchange. So we're talking about kind of medtech innovation and the shifts to medtech, but being bold, asking questions, but also opening up opportunity and opening up platforms rewards everybody.
Absolutely. No, and that's would be a highlight of the week as well for me, because it, to Joe's point, it gave me hope that some young person who she probably go in investment banking, she's a very bright person, I talked to her after as well, and she's choosing this, and she's, I want my son, like, stand up, like, make your, be seen, let yourself be seen. And you'll be, sometimes you'll be told to sit down, but one time out of five, you'll be told to get up here on stage and take the mic. So shoot for grabbing the mic. Anyone out there have questions, want to participate? Sean, could you give the lady a...
Not everybody put your hands up at one time. It's like one person.
We don't have time for thousands of questions. Could you give us your name and company,
sure.
Please?
Hi, my name is Dee Jenny. I'm from Orlando, Florida. It's so funny that you all mentioned banking because I'm in banking for the past 10 years.
Oh, sorry. Banking's great.
So this entire conversation
a beautiful profession.
Was for me. So, that leads me to ask, what advice would you give someone wanting to break into medical device sales with no clinical or medical background?
Do we have a career specialist on the stage, or do you want to take that one, Kaylee?
Well, I'll do a light answer because I know that Joe's really going to take us home with it. So my light answer, because I actually started in medical device sales, two decades ago, ask questions, ask everybody, be okay with being wrong, look for being wrong, because you're going to find more often than not that people are going to want to help you. They're going to want to help guide you in the right way. Ask questions. They always say there's no such thing as a stupid question. The only thing that's stupid with questions is not asking the question.
That's something I learned as a reporter, like right from the start. I mean, you just don't worry about asking stupid questions. I mean, that's the only way you learn.
My whole career is asking stupid questions, and it's worked out great for me.
I probably did up here to the today, so...
I will say, though, I do get a lot of, to Kayleen's point, I get I get more than a handful of LinkedIn messages like that one. And if I can, I'll connect them with someone. Hey, I know this person. I often direct them to Joe, but I'll direct them to some sales folk at a company and say, talk to this person, see what they did, and see if it works for you. Joe, do we get any of that right?
Of course you did. First of all, what's happened in your life that has you looking for medical device that you're leaving banking?
Okay.
Because she's awesome.
That too. But really, I don't want to get emotional, but last year, my mom suffered from a stroke. So what saved her life was devices. And while I was in there, her lovely doctor, who was so amazing, he was just there with us the entire time, just oversharing about the entire process, and part of it was talking about the devices, and one in particular was the device she had to use for her hand to help her regain strength on her hand. And so it just fired a curiosity. I started researching the device, just trying to figure out how best to support her and et cetera. But through that curiosity and asking him questions, he introduced me to another med device sales rep, and we had lunch, and I shared with him my experience, and we had a great conversation. He's like, honestly, you'll be perfect. And so since then, I've been researching, I've been on the market, connecting with people on LinkedIn. It led me here from Orlando, Florida. So yeah, that's my story.
Well, first of all, welcome to the club.
One of us.
And somebody always has an intervention of some sort in mid-career that has them come over for a mission. And it's good to have you. Rather than take up all the time, reach out to me on LinkedIn. Yvonne Tornos already did this, but reach out to me on LinkedIn, Joe Mullings, and then I can spend some time with you and give you some insights as to how you can get into this.
That's awesome. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Actually, I'll probably get a card. Tor, if you got a card, we can give her a card. Yeah.
Okay. Thank you so much.
And reach out to all of us. I mean, definitely reach out to Joe, but reach out to all of us because we all have different perspectives and we all have the shared mission. So, you know, maybe there's something that we can all do to help you and anybody else who's looking to get in the industry. I mean, the more the merrier.
Thank you for sharing that. And I'm sorry. I'm glad your mom is hopefully doing well.
She is good.
And to our point about sharing with us, I'm really grateful. And I'm thankful that you came here to feed that mission of yours. So I agree with everything that's said. And I think a year from now, you'll be fully one of us. So.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Any other questions from the audience? Nope, got a couple over there.
Hello, my name is Courtney. I'm currently an engineer at Intuitive, and thank you guys for putting on such a great conference. We've just spent 2 days connecting with people across the industry, learning about new technology and building new connections and partnerships. So my question for you guys is, what are the next steps? How do we make sure that we continue to build these connections and partnerships across the industry when we're not all centrally located here in Boston?
I think I heard, I'm sorry, there was a train going behind the stage when you, I'm like, what is the subway?
You're asking about, like, you know, basically, yeah, we've got this conference here in Boston. How do we, like, keep on building these connections and partnerships, basically across country, right, or world?
Exactly,
frankly.
Yep.
I mean,
Device Talks West?
Yeah.
Device Talks, and Device Talks Minnesota, June 11th. That's coming back to Minnesota, man. It's like, but yeah. I mean, yeah, definitely. Like, yeah, I think more Device Talks events would be a great. There you go, right? Yeah, but I mean, you know, also too, just I mean, just the great community that I see on LinkedIn. I mean, as far as, you know, social media goes, and feeling that you're part of a community. I mean, LinkedIn is where it's at. I mean, it's just a great. Joe, I see your insights. I mean, everybody here on the stage has insights. I mean, a lot of the people out here are like. You know, I've interacted with you on LinkedIn, and you know, it's just great. So I mean, just follow and connect with, you know, the people who are, you know, like have things to say in our industry, and you know, and follow all that, and you know, and when you have something to say, you know, let us know, and you know, because you know, that's how we keep this going.
More important than following is follow up. Accountability. So you can start infinite number of conversations, but if you don't close those conversations, you're never going to move forward. And I can't tell you the number of times that somebody's come up to me and was like, I would love, you know, your help, and here I am. Let's set up a call. How can I help you? Again, we're in an industry that we serve. That's why I'm here. I want to help. And then I don't hear back from them. I'm not going to chase you down. Be accountable. And the right things will happen, and just stay at it. Follow up.
To those lines, figure out what your target is. So make it 3 years out, 5 years out, and be self-serving about it. So if it's 3 years out, you want to be somewhere or someone or doing something, LinkedIn's a great reverse engineering map, right? So start connecting now with all those people, reach out to them, and I would say high probability more than 85 to 90%, you'll get a response back. And then to Colleen's point, then nurture that relationship over time. And but hit that 1 year, 3 year, 5 year mark where you want to be, whether it's a top surgeon, you know, a head of engineering, or marketing, or sales. And I can guarantee you, if you follow up with them, stay in their ecosystem, there's a online on YouTube, I put out a piece that has been wildly powerful for people called 1042, and my last name Mullings. Go look at that, and that is the easiest way to build your community and has proven to be incredibly powerful. We came up with that about 6 or 7 years ago.
Well, I've kind of found in my career, and I found it reflected actually in a book I read this year that I really liked. Jim Vandehei, who founded Axios and co-founded Politico, he wrote a book called The Good Stuff, you know, where he was, you know, talking about, you know, lessons from his career. And I remember one of the big things was, it was like, you know, you need to have the tools, you know, as you said, like kind of like where I want to be, make sure, you know, you're excellent with, you know, the tools that you need to get there. And then it's really like, you got to jump at the opportunity if it comes. I mean, because, you know, it might not come again. So, I mean, that's the big thing. Have the tools and jump at the opportunity.
And I think when you offered that question, other than hearing the train behind me, I also got my, we use the podcast, I hope, to kind of continue that conversation. We use our webinars to continue the conversation all year long. But those are definitely one-way experiences. I would love to find a way to help people who are here and have a good time and have their meetings to help them remain connected. And we'll work on trying to figure that out. But to everyone's point, and I make this point to my son all the time, like, reach out to people who you want to be. Ask them how they got that way. And if you met them here, even better. Because we do want to help. If someone emails me, I want to help them. Like, I just do. I want to help them. Maybe it's a pay it forward thing. Maybe I think if I help them, they'll help someone help my kids someday. I don't know. But you want to help. You want to help someone succeed. So just continue to remain in touch. Remember Nina Goodhart's comment last year. You know, she would meet people and some would remain in touch. And when they needed something, she knew their story. And she was saying, absolutely, I can direct you. If they met once and then didn't follow up, then she didn't quite, she may have remembered them, but she didn't know them enough to take stock in their career. So I think until I figure it out, a lot of it's on you to kind of just maintain those connections. But I'm glad you made them in the first place, and thanks for coming out. So, and Intuitive's great. Ooh, we love it. I think I know we're running late, but I saw there was one more question over there. Or if, please, we can hang around until Richard pulls the plug on the lights and
lights turn off,
picks us out and puts the house lights on.
Hi, I'm Emma Yang, account executive at Health and Commerce. There's been several themes tonight to describe medtech, like sexy, emotional, intimate, and I think that a big term has been authenticity. So what is your advice for medtech to stay authentic, especially in the age of content, when there's so much owned media that they have, and on social media, and what types of content kind of make you roll your eyes a little bit, and what sits better with you guys?
You're the editor.
I'd say, right. Don't use generative AI. And definitely generative AI, I think, is really raising people's BS meters too. Authenticity. I mean, you gotta be true to yourself, and you know, about what you're doing, and you need to be, you know, truthful with others. You know,
there was so much good video coming into before this event. Guy Steve, who listens to the podcast, I know. You know, did this whole thing in a Boston accent, talking about going to Device Talks Boston. I mean, if you met this guy, he's like the straightest, he's just a very, very straight shooting med device guy. And to see him kind of put himself out there and show himself and show some humor and do a really pretty good Boston accent, I have to say, was fantastic. It was like, go, Steve, like have some fun. So for me, when it comes to companies, own more corporate, obviously we love our podcast. We just launched Olympus Talks Podcast. Put that plug in there. I think anything that gets the voice of the people out there and kind of cuts out the middle person is effective. I mean, I think video is obviously great. I think we're moving past a bit the I'm at a trade show in front of my booth selfie kind of video. I think people need to move beyond that. I don't think there's any right answer. There may be a right answer today, but it's not going to be the answer next year. And I give the Mellings credit for their video setup down there, which I always gush about. But they're creating great content. They're putting people who know what they're talking about out in front of the world, and that pays off dividends. So I'm not answering things, I think, as well as as coherently as I'd like to. But I think the content business is changing. I think authenticity, to your point, is just most important. We just all have this sensor in our heads that as soon, like 2 seconds in, you're like, nope, done. And they move on, or they're fast forwarding on the podcast or whatever. So I guess we all, this is getting kind of deep, but we need to know who we are and what our voice is and then amplify that. It took me a while to do that too.
Yeah, we need to know who we are, yes, but you also need to know where you want to go. So have a goal, be very intentional with that goal. So if you are putting out content, who are you trying to reach and why? And if the reason you're reaching out is disingenuous, it's going to show. So if you go in intentionally with a goal in mind, again, back to the being in service of those around us, if you're going in to try to solve a problem or trying to help people, then that's going to communicate really well, and that's going to pull out that authenticity. So I always say, of course, yes, you have to be transparent, you have to be yourself, be vulnerable, tell human stories, your own stories, connect with others. But if you don't know where you're going, if you don't have that clear goal of why you're putting out that content, who you're trying to reach, and really wrap, close that loop, it's never going to work.
I think my snow shovel post on LinkedIn is probably one of the most talked about posts I hear about. Like, did you put your snow shovels away, Tom? I took a picture of snow shovels and people just like, they connect with it. I can take 2 hours writing a post where I'm like, this is going to crush it. And then you're like, two? What do you mean two? 80 impressions? Come on. Like, you're killing me, people. So it's kind of funny. People react to the strangest things. So, but we're getting away from the question, but great question, obviously. I think we could kill a lot more time talking about it. I think we'll take one more question because we probably need to wrap up. Sean, do you mind?
Rami Tafiri, from CBSET. I have a question that connects two themes that you mentioned, was transparency and what is the value, demonstrating the value of AI. And I find it very interesting that Ivan Tornos mentioned that they collect reams of data and they don't really know how to extract value from that. And I think I heard it from someone else afterwards. So I was wondering if you had ideas on, how to fill that gap. And maybe this is a theme for next year for one, a discussion or a session.
I'll let the panel. I mean, I think it's a problem that people have identified. And I've talked to probably four people who told me they have the solution. Now, whether they do or they don't, I'm not sure. So it's definitely a problem that's being worked on. But I don't ultimately know what the solution is. Kayleen does.
I don't know if it's a solution, but it is a solution that I have heard. So I sat down with Dennis Chang of Boston Scientific, talking about artificial intelligence, and I had asked him essentially that same question. At some point, where there's just too much data, like, what do we do around that? And that's when he said, that's when third-party companies come in. Like, this is a problem we're not going to be able to solve in-house. And it's creating another layer of opportunity, another layer of med tech. Too much information is too much information. So we need to lean on those who can start filtering out that information and really putting it in the right package and finding some standardization around it. I haven't heard anybody else who could possibly comment on it because it's such a big problem. And I think that's probably why you heard such a hesitation at the beginning with me and potentially Joe, like talking about artificial intelligence is like, is this challenge like insurmountable?
So over the last kind of year, I've got this talk track that's through my head. Data itself is just a big dumpster. 99% of it's just a giant dumpster. But somewhere in there are some useful signals. And when you get into healthcare, right, rewards drive behavior. So you got to look for the signal out of the patient, the caregiver, the payer, the provider, because that signal, we all want different value out of that. Our signals are different out of there. So then you've got to mine that. And then once you mine that, that becomes information. Now, what action are you going to put on that information? And then you can have knowledge, and Nicole's going to crack up over this one, You can have knowledge, but if you don't have wisdom to go with that knowledge, like knowledge is knowing that a tomato is a fruit. Wisdom is knowing not to put it in a fruit salad, right? And so the reward systems in health tech are not set up to reward that high-end signal right now. So the AI issue is the docs don't have time. The data is a big pile of crap for the most part. So many people want different signals out of it. We can't break those signals out of it. And when we do, how are we going to pay? How are we going to get paid for those signals? Because there's not enough meat on the bone there. So that's the conundrum that we have right now, I believe, with AI in the health tech, med tech system. Misaligned interests, reward systems that aren't aligned, and we're too loose with the use of AI. And then you have multiple signals out of there from multiple stakeholders that all of them are looking in different directions and how they're making money. So that's the challenge I see.
Great stuff. I know I said that was the last question, but I always ask another question after I say last question, so I'll let the audience do the same. Anybody else?
It's Miller time.
Well, thank you all for being here and for sitting through this. It was actually a fantastic conversation. And thanks to everyone who was part of Device Talks Boston. We covered just a fraction of the great conversations. You led the panel with Rebecca Seidel. I talked to Cecilia Soriano.
Yeah, that was fantastic, yeah.
We had many great, our wonderful sponsors on the floor. The expo floor was alive. I went and talked to many of them, and they had great experiences and contacts. And it's a big deal. I was walking by through the floor on Tuesday when people are setting up their booths, and you feel responsible. Like, these people are here. They're working hard, and you want to create a great experience for them. And I heard that many had a great experience. So that's great to hear. But thank you to everyone who makes this possible, including the attendees. It's a lot of work. I'm not always the happiest person to work with when things are getting a little crazy, as Kayleen can attest. But once you get here and you see people, you're like, oh, damn, that's why we do this. So thank you for making it all worthwhile and for listening to this podcast. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, well, that is a wrap. Thanks again for joining us on this episode of the Device Talks Weekly Podcast. Once again, join us at Device Talks Minnesota on June 11th and Device Talks West. I believe registration is open for that. I've got some great keynotes that we'll be getting out there, but I understand if you want to wait on that one, that's October 15th and 16th. And we'll be resuming Device Talks Tuesdays in a couple of weeks. And finally, I should have mentioned this up top, but we launched our newest podcast, and I'll mention it again next week, launched our newest podcast, Olympus Talks. So make sure you subscribe to the Device Talks Podcast Network so you can get the first episode of Olympus Talks, which we're doing in cooperation with Olympus. And, of course, you'll receive our other amazing podcasts as well. Lots coming your way. So make sure you subscribe to the Device Talks Podcast Network. Make sure you connect with me on LinkedIn. Connect with Kayleen Brown on LinkedIn. Connect with Chris Newmarker on LinkedIn. I'm guessing you're already connected with Joe Mullings on LinkedIn because everyone seems to be connected with Joe Mullings on LinkedIn. But if you're not, you definitely should be. Joe puts out a lot of great content as well and is a great person to get a sense of what's going on in the industry. All right, folks. Thank you again for listening to this episode of the Device Talks Weekly Podcast. Do what you can to make medtech sexy, and we'll talk to you next week. Take care, everybody.